Welcome back to the Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Vic at VWeb and Jack at Jack Not John. We got a lot to talk about today. MLB playoffs, college football, NBA preseason. It's back. But first, boys, I'm so curious. Victor, I'm particularly curious with you. How was your weekend? You're glowing.
Weekend was great. October's the greatest month in sports.
Agree.
You have
the greatest month in
MLB
general.
Playoffs. You've got college football. This one, every rivalry game, which I basically have been speaking about every single week. You've got NBA. We're coming in 3 weeks. We got preseason now. You can't forget about the NFL. Hockey. Let's throw that in there. Why not? There's some golf going on. Last weekend for golf for both of you, I believe. This is sort of sad, I guess, fellas.
No, please, look. definitely not the last weekend, but the most important part about October that you did not mention is the temperature.
It's fall golf.
Of course.
Golf is better than summer golf.
A guaranteed range between 55 and 68 every day for probably, I guess, the whole month.
Don't tell Ben that, because yesterday I was playing golf with Ben, and Ben looked like it was mid-August out there.
Shorts.
There I am, bundled up, and on the 11th, Ben loses the sweater. So there he is, short sleeve shirt and shorts, and I'm bundled up with a vest, a nice long sleeve. You like that
long? It was lovely long sleeve.
Right? I looked the part.
Look, not all of us are as rich as you. We can get 5,000 Egyptian cotton, whatever the fuck that was, the softest
never understood.
I don't know where. What do you mean you never understood?
Never understood the vest.
Well, I found one of the greatest golf shirts, and I loved it. Ben and I took some money.
We did. We took a whole 20.
Yeah, we won. We took the caddy. We took the caddy home with us, and then Ben and I, did our own little side bets. But
Vic, you're gonna die at this. Really nice guys that we played with, but we get to the first tee, and you know, occasionally we'll gamble on games of golf.
Oh, occasionally.
You ready?
Okay,
ready for that? No, look, I'm.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Okay.
Front $10, back $10.
The whole nine each way.
Yep. $10.
That's
look, 10,
that's,
10, 20.
That's what you call a barn.
10, 10, 20. We went pretty big.
10, 10, 20.
Not all of us are as rich as you, Ben. No,
you with your shirt.
I would have done 5, 5, 10.
I was going to say, we did. We put up a good fight yesterday, though.
A good fight. We won.
No, but I'm saying we didn't play as. We won, but part of that has to do with our opponents not necessarily playing as well.
We were striking the ball well.
There was actually, should we talk about that one hole that our opponent specifically told us not to discuss? Duffed shot.
By the way, I will say this, obviously no names, but
no names.
Something
great
that
guys.
I've never seen. So we're teeing off, it was the eighth, I know, not I believe it, I know it's the eighth, and the ninth green is not too far away, but it's
right to
like
the left
distance, it's probably like 18 yards, but it's to the left, so you really got to hit it off the heel.
But so you're teeing off straight, and the green is right to your left, right there.
But
it's very hard to hit that
green. But it's so close that I've never seen it done, and yes. I've played this course hundreds of times, and this guy goes and tees it directly off like the heel, not the toe, so it almost goes backwards and goes onto the green and hits a guy's ball who's putting. So
he's putting on the green.
So he's putting on the green.
So what happens?
You move it back because this is completely unforeseen. It's not like a guy in your group. And I don't think you expect a guy to tee off into your ball.
Excellent marksmanship.
It made for great laughs. And also, I remember the injury I took. I almost cut my hand off.
Unbelievable.
I was bleeding all over my ball.
The guy's never cut his own cigar before. He opens a cigar cutter, clamps it closed on his finger.
Yeah, I was bleeding from my hand.
Yes.
No. It wasn't. It was like, it pinched. So, you know, it's not like that part, it was like where you squeeze the fingers. So my hand got caught, and I start bleeding all over my ball, all over the place.
The ball is covered in blood.
The ball is covered in blood. I ended up parring the next two, but just a little blood. And whoever said there's no blood in golf, go fuck yourself.
Yes, there's 100% blood in golf. But we all wanted to not rush through the round, but finish 18 to get home to watch the New York Yankees, which we'll get to, but particularly the MLB playoffs. This has been already, we're through eight games and some crazy stuff is going on. Just to catch all of you up, particularly you, Jack, I know that you've maybe watched one game or so. So let's go through these headlines.
I've watched all three games.
Okay, good. There have been eight. Going through all of them, Cardinals versus Braves is the first series, tied at 1-1. Catch you up, Cardinals scored four in the top of the ninth, stealing game one. Then Mike, I can never pronounce his last name, Fletsneeks?
I thought it was Fulton-ish. Fulton-ish?
Okay. Like, you
know, Fulton-etchik.
Fulton-etchik.
Okay. The starting pitcher, Mike F., for the Atlanta Braves, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, got the W, tied at 1-1. Nationals Dodgers, 1-1 also, shockingly. Kershaw loses game 2, Strasburg 1, and the crazy thing in that, I don't know if you guys saw, Scherzer came in relief.
I actually did.
3 straight Ks, just put them right in the ground. Max Muncy, 4 RBIs, big highlight for the Dodgers. Rays Astros, Houston just pounding them up 2-0. Garrett Cole smoked them last night. 15 strikeouts, MLB playoff record. And our New York Yankees absolutely pounding the Twins. 18-6 is the run differential through the first 2 games. D.D. Gregorius, D.J. LeMahieu, each 4 RBIs. It's our quick wrap. How quick was that?
That was pretty quick.
That was pretty good, right?
So now it's
the Cliff Note version.
The Cliff Notes. So a couple of questions. Which team impressed you most through the first 8 games of these division series? Anyone want to take it first? Jack, you look like you're ready to take it.
Yeah, surprisingly, right?
Yeah, no, nice.
Just to clarify, it's 2 games each. So that question, yeah.
So 8 games total.
Yeah, 8 games total.
Yes.
Obviously, we could say it's the Yankees hitting, but I'm super impressed by the Nationals. Dodgers team.
Me too.
I think they had the second best record in baseball. But as you said, Scherzer coming in as relief, that's a different facet to this team. They're getting it done with the starting pitching, the bullpen. And would you be that surprised? I mean, Scherzer's back on the mound for game 3. Would you be surprised if the Nationals go up 2-1 and this team refuses to just roll over and die? They've been here before. We said last week they've won the division. They've made runs in the playoffs many years in a row. And I just think the MO about the Dodgers is they kind of wilt when it hits October.
Yeah, and particularly this team, I love that you brought that up. Victor and I actually were talking about this a couple weeks ago, that when you look at the Dodgers lineup, you're kind of like, how are they here? How are they doing this? The guys that are doing it.
When we were at the Met game, we were like, okay, they got Jock Peterson.
And then Max Muncy, right. And that's their RBI leader.
You Turner's
Justin
still on
Turner
the shelf.
Batting. No, he's batting.
Oh, he's batting?
He's playing, but he's batting under 200. There just aren't the names that, like, it used to be Adrian Gonzalez. You're like, okay, he's going to hit a couple of home runs. Yeah, Puig was a household like a name.
Hayward was on the team once.
Yep. It's just like there were those names, and now they're not there. So who is going to step up? And Clayton Kershaw looks like classic Clayton Kershaw that just folds in the playoffs. So,
you can't lose game 2 with Kershaw, and like, you know.
No, I love that you brought that up. My most impressive team, I think, is the Cardinals. The Braves, I had beating the Cardinals pretty handedly, and then beating the Dodgers and going to the World Series. I think that this Braves team is top to bottom, pitching, batting. They are really, really, really good. But the Cardinals, there's just something about the Cardinals. The second it's October, you're like, they're going to make a playoff push. Everybody remember. I mean, the guys are still there, like the Molinas and the Carpenters.
Wainwright.
Like they have championship mentality in them. So for them to steal that game 1 was huge. Now you go home for 3 games, I believe, right? Or is it?
No, it's a 5-game series. So you're 2-2-1.
2-2-1. Okay, so you still go home with the advantage, trying to take 2 and close it out. I definitely like the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with the Yankees. You know, 18 runs off 19 hits across 2 games. You know, you do what you do best in your own ballpark. You know, everyone's getting in on the action. It's LeMahieu, it's Didi, it's Judge, even Stanton, finally. I mean, he hits into that double play, and you're like, this is game 2, and you're just saying, dude, like, come on. I was very impressed with him, though. Game 1, he actually 3 walks.
Thank
which
God.
The patience, and Aaron Judge did a great job of this, I believe it was 2 years ago in the playoffs, when everyone was getting upset at him for striking out so much, but he was seeing so many more pitches. And that's what you need to do, especially with the Twins, because once you get to their bullpen, it's not the best. It's pretty damn good. But, you know, I just think of the Yankees, when you just keep seeing those bats over and over and over, it's only a matter of time until someone busts one loose. On the other side of that same coin, the Yankees bullpen is great. I mean, just to have all these guys, Ottavino, Conley, Green, you're really starting to see how well the Yankees know exactly what they're doing with their pitching, because that was the area that people thought, all right, if they've got 1 weak spot, it's starting pitching. The bullpen's fine, but how do you manage those first 5 innings? I think they're doing a fantastic job of that.
Yeah, even it's the Yankees pitching in general, giving up 6 runs in a short, it's a small stadium. We all know Yankee Stadium, both sides. The Twins hit the most home runs in the league. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the Twins hit the most home runs in the regular season of all time.
It was. They broke the Yankees.
So, yeah. They really. So to hold them to 6 runs through 2 games is fantastic. So I definitely see that. Who will we see in the NLCS? It seems like the American League is pretty locked up. unless the Yankees and Astros completely blow it, I think that we got to turn our attention to these Cardinals, Braves, Nationals, Dodgers series. Who do we see advancing and why?
Kind of on my point earlier about the Nationals pitching and getting it done with the bullpen and, you know, showing all these different schemes, I just think the Nationals might get it done. More so than the Cardinals, in my opinion. I think this Braves team is, you look at the roster and it's just better than the Cards. And in my opinion, it's better than the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman, what's it, Acuna Jr.?
Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, I mean, these are studs.
Albies, Josh Donaldson, team is hit.
And guys who have done it everywhere.
They can hit.
So I think the Braves will pull this one out, and I just wouldn't be shocked if the Nationals beat the Dodgers. So I'm going to go off on a limb. I got Braves and Nats.
I like that. I do like the Nats pick. I feel like every year I'm rooting for the Nats to get there, just because we all remember when Strasburg came into the league. This is 9 years ago. It's hard to believe at this point. And he had that crazy first start. You know, I'm always pulling them. I just don't think the Dodgers have it this year. Granted, it's funny I say that when they have the best record.
They had 100 wins.
Yeah.
108 like, wins.
It's very
something.
Easy for me to sit here and say that. But I think you think about the Nats, and people always say, well, if you play that wild card, you get tired out. It's sort of like when you have to play in the play-in game in the NCAA tournament. People think, oh, that'll tire you out in the second round. Like, they'll obviously get, you know, rolled over by the sixth seed or whoever it is. It's that 11-6 game. But I think it gave them momentum, and the way that the Nats won that wild card game, the crazy three-run error single in the bottom of the eighth to get there. Now you steal one in L.A. You get who do they have in game three? They have Anibal Sanchez pitching. I can't believe he's still in the league. I thought he was out. The guy threw a no-hitter on the Marlins. Yeah. I feel like that was yesterday. That was only 12 years
There's
ago.
There's some serious longevity in baseball.
So I think once you get that split, and then by the same token, that's my logic for the Cardinals also getting that game. You got Wainwright taking the ball in game three.
Who's been the hottest pitcher in baseball
and
in the last
probably
3 months.
Has more, the most, he's probably the most experienced pitcher in that series. If I had to guess. So for me, you know, you get that day off. You're going back to St. Louis. I like that. I think the Nationals also just get it done. We're seeing an all-red series in the NL.
Vic, I'm totally with you. I have the Nationals and the Cardinals. The Nationals are the hottest team in baseball by a mile. They finished the regular season 9-1. They go into that wild card game and just really make shit happen. They should have lost that game, and all of a sudden they just really pull the rabbit out of the hat. And I think that taking one game in L.A. was huge for them. So I definitely like the Nationals and the Cardinals. The Cardinals have the experience. The Braves are that really, really, really talented young team, but they don't have a ton of playoff experience. So I like Nationals and Cardinals.
Just a tidbit. I did just show Vic this tweet. It does look like Scherzer's expected to start.
You know what? His arm might fall off by the end of this.
But and that doesn't mean that Anibal Sanchez might not come
right
come in at some point.
In long relief.
Do you know how much I love that, though? That is like...
You throw him out for...
This is like what the Yankees did with CeCe.
But
like,
no, but I'm saying
ago.
You're breaking all the rules. It's like, starting pitchers can't do this. Well, actually, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And for him to start, relieve, start, again, to Vic's point... You just have to think, I guess they figure that if they beat the Dodgers, the Cardinals and the Braves are significantly easier. But I think that it would be...
Yeah, I think in the end it might be Sanchez.
We're now hearing that it is Sanchez.
We don't really
source.
Know.
By the way, that would make sense.
It would
too
just
much
make
on
sense.
His arm.
We still love it, though.
I still love it.
And you still might see him.
I still... yeah, no, he could still come in relief. Yeah.
And you know who would... And you know that when that wouldn't be breaking the rules? That is like old school baseball. Pitchers used to do day-night doubleheaders. Yeah. Like, think about that.
The
granted,
babe.
I'm talking about like the in the 30s. Yeah. I'm dialing it way back. I'm turning back the clocks big time.
He'd also take in a six-pack, six hot dogs, hit two dingers, and then go out and throw 112 pitches and
smoke three.
That is what we call a full day.
The babe. last question of this MLB slate. Which 2-0 team has the most cause for concern going forward? So that would be the Yankees and the Astros. I'll steal this one first. I think
Are
that...
Are you going to give it back at some point?
I will. Okay, I will.
Can I borrow
so
that?
Borrow.
Can I borrow that napkin?
I'm going to steal it. Look, there's not much that you can pick apart from either team to say that there is a fault in either of them. As a massive Yankees fan, I am absolutely horrified of the Houston Astros starting pitching. They are just 15 strikeouts. Granted, the Rays offense, it's not even close to the Yankees. Not even close. but there's just something about having to see Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke to start a series. That is, these are like Cy Young guys every single year.
It's just not fair.
It's not fair. The starting pitching is not even close. I don't think I've ever seen, who are the other two starting pitchers?
Does it even matter?
No, it doesn't, but I think they're also Cy Young. I think I'm missing two Cy Young award winners.
Oh, I'll get it for you in a second.
It's okay. Just continuing the point, their starting pitching is so scary, and the second that you go to Houston and you have that deeper ballpark, good pitchers get fly balls. Fly balls in Yankee Stadium sometimes
result
in home runs.
It's not just deep, it's like weird. It twists and turns in left field, left center, right center.
Totally. So I think that the cause for concern would be the Yankees going forward against the Houston Astros pitching. That's my cause for concern.
Before Vic jumps in and says, it's the Astros, I agree. I don't see the Yankees having a starting pitcher that could go out and give you 15 Ks. It's pitching by committee, which is nice, but it's also a little scary. You don't have a Garrett Cole who's going to go in and strike 15 guys out. So, and to your point, I think the Yankees are more battle-tested, though. This Twins offense, one of the best in the league, so I think they're being groomed for the Astros, maybe better than the Astros are being prepared for the Yankees. True. But as you said, the ballpark, the starting pitching, and just the recent resume of this Houston Astros team, I just think that comes into play here. They won it 2 years ago, and so this is a scary team, scary organization with better starting pitching than they had during that run. So
I just the only thing I'm worried about, there are a lot of guys on this Yankee team who were here 2 years ago. The devastating, that's just putting it lightly, Game 7 loss to the Astros. There's a lot of fuel, and I just hope that they put, I think a revenge factor is always helpful in a game. You know, I brought it up last week when I talked about the Cowboys and the Packers. Like, there's something, like, when you keep getting, when a certain team ends your season, there's a lot of juice on the side. I just hope my only cause for concern, I don't think either team is cause for concern.
No, we're picking at straws
here. If there really is one, I don't want the Yankees to have the revenge and be really looking forward. I want them to first handle the Twins. Like, I understand you got two wins. You're now going to Minnesota. I'm not sure if they're an hour behind in the time zone or not. Not that makes a difference. But you're going up to the the upper middle northwest.
Pacific Northwest.
And I just want the Yankees to be focused. I know Boone will have these guys focused. There's no doubt in my mind. But sometimes you can start looking ahead. And we speak about this all the time. We talk about college football. These teams are looking ahead to these bigger games down the road. Take care of business first.
I love
get
that you,
back to New York.
I love that you brought up that Game 7. Because where was that Game 7 played?
Houston.
And that is the exact problem. For whatever reason, and we spoke about it on this show, the Yankees just kind of fell apart down the stretch. I don't know if that's, again, looking forward. You're just looking to the playoffs. You already have 100 wins. The Astros had 107 wins. The Yankees had 103. The Astros have home field advantage. And home field advantage comboed with starting pitching is a real cause for concern. But again, both teams got to get it done. It's not like the Rays starting pitching isn't fantastic, so maybe they can take.
And have we seen Greinke in the playoffs yet?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, it's just been
the Diamondbacks got close one year.
Just been close.
In general,
yeah.
Maybe a game or two.
But yeah, definitely not battle tested. College football week 6. We all watched college football yesterday. Decent slate. I'm not going to call it great. You had no Alabama. You had no Clemson. But of the mediocre slate, which win yesterday was the most impressive in your eyes?
It's far and away Florida. You know, we all said your clean sweep. It's got to be Auburn. Gus Malzahn, Bo Nix going to come into town, into the swamp in Gainesville and silence the crowd. That did not happen. They brought out the old school looking jerseys, the blue ones. They're represented by Jordan. I didn't even realize there's so many college football teams now of Jordan brand.
It makes it so much cooler.
Uniforms. It definitely. Look, they did exactly what, you know, I said. I said I was so excited for this game, one, because I love watching Auburn on the road, and I did. It was a great game. That was a classic SEC, 24-13, low scoring. But then the other thing I was looking forward to is Florida for real? Is Kyle Trask the truth?
And they fucking destroyed him.
Right. They looked, and look, they did
his
look good.
His own player destroyed him.
Yeah.
Oh, but I didn't see.
This rolled over on his knee.
Ah, it was an O-lineman?
Yeah.
But look, you
pushed another.
Fat, fat fuck, Jesus Christ.
It was really tough to
watch. Yeah, look, Perine is looking incredible. 14 carries, 130 yards, and a touchdown. I'm not saying he's on the Heisman spectrum, but that's big to have a back like that. And you got Swain running all the way up and down the field. I mean, that first touchdown, you're like, holy crap, like, Florida's going to win this one easy. And then, obviously, it settled down with the defense. And then, look, you know, Bo Nix, only 11-27, three picks. That's really... you know, so it's the Florida defense coupled with the fact that they really had to win this game to prove themselves. And now they're going to be in the upper echelon of the top 10, and Auburn will probably fall out at this point.
I think it's a much better, it was a much better slate than we're giving it credit. You did see UCF lose. You did see Oklahoma State lose. I think the most underrated win of yesterday, as Ben and I were admittedly listening to it in the car, it was a stinker to watch. But is the Michigan win?
Oh, it was painful.
Boring as hell. Shea Patterson, one of the most boring quarterbacks in the country. And Iowa, good thing we didn't do too much research on them because they don't move the ball. And Ben and I were talking about, I think they had 11 penalties and let up 8 sacks, or it might have been vice versa. They could not move the ball. They kept shooting themselves in the foot. But I think that puts Michigan back on the map. You take care of business against Iowa, a strong team, an undefeated team in conference. So, I mean, huge win for Michigan.
Huge. They had it, it was a must win. It was a must win.
But it reinvigorates the defense because Michigan this year is not, they don't have this, the electric running back or, and they haven't had a great quarterback in a while, but I think taking care of business at the Big House, you had the 12 o'clock game, you got beat by Wisco pretty bad a couple weeks ago. You needed this or else. Honestly, yeah, everyone's on the hot seat.
That is what made it so important.
So I think this is a huge win.
I just still don't – I mean, we'll talk about them sniffing the top 10 in a bit, but I still think that beating an Iowa team that was – yes, they were 4-0 against Miami of Ohio, Rutgers, Iowa State, and Middle Tennessee. Pump the brakes.
It was still –
it's just – I get it.
And Iowa was ranked 14 coming into that game. It's a resume builder.
Michigan's got to score more than 10 points. And they scored 10 points within the first – 7 minutes of the game. They got completely shut out for 3.5 quarters.
But they did the same. So, I mean, the defense got it done.
Look, you get one of those every season.
It's true. They played great day. For me, the most impressive, and now I've sort of moved. I mean, I have two teams that are jockeying. It's Oregon and those Buckeyes. That defense, and I'm sorry for slamming the table, but that defense is so, so good. If you watch the first quarter of that game, you're like, wow, Fields is having a lot of trouble moving the ball. This Michigan State team has upset them three times before. This is the one team that always gives Ohio State fits, and they still blew them out. They figured it out. They couldn't move the ball. They ended up moving the ball. They held them to 10 points. I get that they put up 40 on Indiana, but still, any time that you hold a team in a rivalry game to 10 points and outscore them by, what was it, 24?
24, yep.
That was a really, really big win. And just said, like, fuck you.
And where is this rushing? J.K. Dobbins, 170 yards. All these red, has anyone noticed that these running
carries.
Backs are getting so many
that's
carries?
A lot of work.
And those are NFL numbers. Not, they're not all the, on jet not, not an average number, but 24, that's a lot for a running back. You've got Dobbins doing it. You got Taylor again had a big day.
They had 49 carries, this Ohio State offense. That's insane. 49 compared to Michigan State's 27. And they've got their second back. One of the best names in college football, Master Teague III.
Wow.
14 carries for 90 yards, and Fields once again getting it done in the air as well as on the ground.
He can escape in the pocket, too. Like,
he's
there
really
are so
good.
Many times where you're like, oh my God, he's about to get sacked. Like, this Michigan State team was blitzing from everywhere.
He's slippery.
This is why he was the number one recruit coming out of high school.
He has a little Tua in him, like the backward spinning and the. I mean, Tua's. I mean,
who would have thought
this is just
guy,
the beginning.
This is a transfer. I mean, this was the number one quarterback in his class, and he transferred from Georgia to Ohio State. And you got to give credit to Urban Meyer because he built this team. But what Ryan Day is doing now that he has the keys to the castle, I guess, this team's special, and I think it's better than we've seen in years past. And you could almost trace it back to that championship squad.
This is the best Ohio State's defense has looked in recent memory.
Yes,
is there they always can sling it.
There must be like three or four Bosas.
Yeah, there.
Yeah, right. How many Bosas are on this team? None, right? Oh, there's one? No, he left. No Boses.
No Boses.
Noses. Yeah.
Just one more I would toss in there, which is sort of getting lost in all the SEC Big Ten hype. Texas taking care of business in Morgantown,
West Virginia stinks.
But you know what? They always give teams a tough time.
Not this year.
But look,
this is one of your schools.
I thought you were going to blast me.
Hook 'em, baby. Let me tell you why this is big. This is big because this is the game I've been talking about all season long. The Red River Shootout happening next weekend against Oklahoma. This is one of the after, you know, look.
Don't jump the gun.
I won't jump the gun, but there's Michigan, Ohio State. There's Florida State, Miami. You can make the case right amidst all the Auburn. Texas, Oklahoma, far and away the biggest Big 12 rivalry game. I just think to not be looking ahead like we keep talking about. You're on the road, conference game, winning in West Virginia, putting up 42 points. I think it's great for the offense moving forward into what's going to be an up-tempo game.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen it from Sam Ellinger.
It's a hard G.
As much this season, I think you want to touch upon that game. I think the Sooners take care of business. And Jalen Hurts just continues to promote and build on that Heisman resume.
I think we'll get there. Before we jump into next week, I want to quickly... I'm so, so sorry, but I have to bring this up. University of Miami, 14-point favorites. And we all on the show said that there's no shot that they should be 14-point favorites because they've proven that they should time and time again.
Believe it or not, it was 11 when we were 11 and a half we recorded. It got all the way up.
It was a ghost line. Jack and I checked. It was never actually 13. It was 13 and a half. Regardless, my goodness, you go down 28-0. You lose, and then you come back to tie at 35-35.
This might be the game of the year so far.
Fucking Bubba Bax.
And then you just let Virginia Tech march in 1 minute, a 1 minute drill, come down the field, score a touchdown on that Miami defense that is turnover chain. All that. They got shellacked. You want to comment?
As Manny Diaz said after the game, Bubba Bax's missed PAT took the wind out of our sails. It was tough. I mean, I was.
By the way, what a schmuck coach for blaming that extra point.
It's a tie game. Your defense steps up. He was asked about it, about that, the effect of that missed PAT. I mean, Bubba Bax, you got to put it through the uprights. I saw more resilience from this team in the second half than I would have expected. I told somebody who hit me up, you know, I'm gonna pound Miami and they're gonna come back. I said I haven't seen a Manny Diaz coached Miami team battle through that and show resilience. I was kind of expecting them to roll over and die and take it in the ass. But that Hail Mary on the last play of the first half gave us a little lift. But man, you were with me in the beginning. I mean, I was irate. I almost threw up on myself.
it was just a crazy game. And like, look, they didn't have such a great track. This would have been their first conference win. It's hard to believe they've had 5-2-3, right? And this would have been great for the conference win. You know, it's why they went for two was beyond me. It made no sense. You battle all the way back to make it 35-27. You over two. You don't get it. You're going to have to go for two again. It's just sort of like that Harbaugh math that didn't make sense a couple years ago. But they got it. A miraculous dive.
DJ Dallas.
By DJ Dallas. Then DJ Dallas runs for 62 yards. Like, literally came out of, like, called a kerfuffle, if you will. And then on missed PAT, it's like, my goodness. And then Virginia Tech's whole thinking would have been different. Like, would they have
definitely
been pressing somewhere? They would have gone for a field goal. I feel for the Miami people down there. Up here, across the country.
Look up how many you just mentioned two great plays by DJ Dallas. Tell me how many carries he had. I think it might
six carries, it's 66 disgusting. Yards.
We were the talking game, about it.
We were talking about
remember,
it.
Remember, we had a big play to Brevin Jordan, and I think we took it within the 10.
It was 21-0 at that point.
It's 21-0. We did four straight passing plays.
First and goal
that ended
five.
In an interception. How do you not show the run one time? This guy needs
because
more work.
They're bad.
Dan Enos, I mean, you come from Alabama. It's showing why you weren't given the reins to make play calls. You were grooming quarterbacks, and you've done a decent job. Yesterday it showed that you haven't done a good enough job. But pound the fucking ball. Show different plays. I mean, the play calling has been terrible. There was one instance where we did, I think it was an option and a fake to a running back, and there was no running back in the backfield.
Dude, you can't blame play calling. Because when you have a quarterback that goes out there and throws three picks within the first 5 minutes, everything goes out the window.
By the way, you could battle back. We battled back.
I understand, yeah, but I'm saying, and it's very, very impressive. That's the one thing I'll give to them. The fact that they didn't roll over and die when in the first quarter they had five turnovers, two forced fumbles, three picks. The fact they battled back was impressive, but, I mean, we got to stop talking about them. Is this the official end of talking about the Miami Hurricanes?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Never!
We're going to keep talking about them. Moving on to Heisman Watch, we do this every week, and I love that this is turning into a bit of a tradition. Which stat line of this past week? I know that there were a couple Heisman favorites that were not playing last week, so forget Tua, forget Lawrence. Which stat line caught your eye this past week from Heisman candidates that played? Vic, I'd like to start
with you. We can't stop talking about Jonathan Taylor. I got to buy this guy's freaking jersey. 19 carries, didn't get the 20, but 186 yards, 4 touchdowns. I know it's the Kent State Golden Flashes, by the way. So, let me tell you something. So all these non-major stars, I don't know. It's like they took pick names out of a hat. It's like, let's pick a color and let's pick a verb or an adjective or a noun. I don't even know. And it's like this mean-looking bird behind a big cave. Like,
I know it
was just a non-conference softened game, but every single game is important for your Heisman portfolio. And to get 4 scores on the ground with 186 yards, the guy is continuing to press us week in, week out. You got the big game next week against Michigan State in Madison. They're not going anywhere. They're going to practice all week in the state of Wisconsin. And, if this guy keeps doing it, it's going to be really hard. Granted, we're going to see how far, because a lot of these performances hinge on how the team does. But so far, he is the number one clear-cut back, I think, in college football.
Do we need to start talking about Mr. Sean Clifford at all? We haven't mentioned his name once, and people aren't necessarily talking about him.
I think it's quarterback Sean Clifford.
The quarterback for Penn State.
He's really good. Penn State's rolling.
Penn State's now 5-0, and they're crushing teams.
They haven't had that win yet to really boost that resume for the playoffs. But yeah, give a little background on Clifford, and then I'll go down to the bayou.
No, but I'm just saying he has 12 passing touchdowns, 2 picks, 1,500 passing yards. I'm not saying that he's going to win the Heisman. I'm just saying we should maybe talk about him a little. 3 touchdowns this past week against Purdue. Again, they
That's
rolled.
Not Purdue, yeah.
I don't know.
Cudge throw.
Of course, I can say Jalen Hurts.
Let me give another season stats. Like a guy who we've mentioned him, but he's still not being considered in that upper echelon of Heisman candidates. It's Joe Burrow. I mean, five passing touchdowns yesterday. I mean, it's been Tua, it's been Lawrence,
it's been Hurts, and then
him and Taylor. I mean, these two guys need some recognition. He's got over 1,800 yards on the season, 22 passing touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Yesterday, he ran the ball 10 times, 42 yards, and a score. What he's doing to defenses, a Utah State team that's been very good. It's not Utah, but it's Utah State. They've been very good. They're now 3-2. That defense has been stout. What he did to that team, yes, it was at home. But, I mean, the guy is just looking every which way. This is a pretty crazy stat. This is the 4th straight game with over 300 passing yards. It's unbelievable what he's doing.
Yeah.
And his completion percentage yesterday was the worst of the season, which was 71%. That's crazy. Look, the guy's been incredibly accurate.
He is. The problem is that you've got Tua with these 400-yard, 5 touchdown games over and over and over, and that's why the shadow is so big. The conversation, it's like a Tua, Trevor, is Jalen. So far, it looks like a 3-horse race, and then you've got the second tier. You've got Taylor, Burrow. If Sof wants to throw in his boy Clifford there,
I'm gonna make a run, but go.
I think you're right. Like, even those performances, they are good, they're great. But dude, this is why a lot of these college quarterbacks don't work out in the NFL. There's certain systems that they just do well in, and they're better against certain defenses that you'll never see in the pros.
I used my 30 seconds to talk about Sean Clifford, so I just need to tack on an extra 15 to talk about Jalen Hurts, because I think that he should win the Heisman. I think that Clifford, notable. I just wanted to say that I think that there are a couple of guys out there.
Definitely.
If you're a 5-0 team and you're doing well, you should probably be spoken about once to win the Heisman. But Jalen Hurts, you look up everybody's stats, and all that you're looking at is passing touchdowns. He has 14 passing touchdowns. You then scroll over, and you see that he has 7 rushing touchdowns. He has 21 touchdowns in 5 games. That is insanity. That is 4 touchdowns per game on average, both through the air and on the ground. And I think that they keep blowing teams out. I think that Jalen Hurts is he's incredible.
I agree, and I don't want to – I'm not saying Burrow is my number one to win the Heisman,
sure,
but he's accounted for now 24 touchdowns through 5 games.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, but this guy's incredible. And
don't forget, Jalen's got 500 yards on the ground as well. So you're averaging 100 yards rushing. You're averaging, I guess it would be 260, 280.
He's a dual threat quarterback. That's,
and he's always been like this.
But no, but dual threat typically
it has
doesn't.
The connotation, I don't throw.
I don't throw the ball like this. 14-2 touchdown to interception ratio is for a.
Well, Tua's got 17-0.
Yeah, we got
so,
but, he's not a runner.
Right.
I'm saying
correct.
As a dual threat quarterback, you don't expect.
But look,
numbers
Jalen has been here. He has played for Alabama. He has played under Nick Saban. Now he's under Lincoln Riley. He's got one of the. He's got one of the craziest college careers I think I've ever seen, especially flipping from the SEC to the Big 12.
Guy looks good in red.
That's why he's able to stomp all over these guys.
Red and maroon. And yeah. I love that he didn't.
Not maroon, just red.
Alabama's not maroon?
It's no, like a dark red.
Really?
It's
red.
Maroons.
Scarlet red?
Maroons
next stop,
those.
Cornell.
Yeah. The Big Red. By the way, you talk about a mascot? The Big Red. Yeah,
love amazing. It. But that's great. They like gum.
I like
gum fan.
I like the Jalen Hurts.
Wow, I haven't had a piece of Big Red in probably, I don't even know. There's always that one, you always have that one friend that chews cinnamon gum.
It's like, dude, like, I really? Smell you from here.
It's great for the first 10 seconds.
It's actually quite spicy for the first 10
I
seconds.
I hate it.
Big Red's dude, rough.
Keep me away from Cornell
what
and
What about
their
Juicy
gum.
Fruit? Did you ever get into Juicy Fruit?
Of course yeah, I did. But yeah. Again, that's like a 15-second gum, and then you got to spit it out. Yeah,
don't there's forget no, Winter Fresh.
There's but no long
Juicy Fruit always made me feel like I was like born in the 30s. It was like 5 cents. Like,
it's still like, always up there on the little newsstand.
It's such an old school
fruit.
Gum.
It's like... That'll
little
be a nickel,
stick.
Sir. Oh, like I pull it out of like my top hat.
Yeah,
like,
you, oh, you used to be able to get 5 sticks for just. You used to be able to flip a quarter. The guy at the newsstand, 5 sticks, and those little
quarter. You're rich.
Yeah, wow. Then they moved up to 35 cents. Whoever is 35 cents, come on.
Is it now 35 cents?
Yes.
That is very bizarre.
7 cents a stick. What the hell's going on?
Stick with Big Red. Five cents.
There's a shortage apparently. The market's going up. Yeah, the market. People aren't buying single stick gum as much.
No, they are not. Next week, I was going to talk more about Jalen Hurts, but we'll talk about him in these games because there are a couple of games next week. Apologies, the lines haven't been released yet, so we're just going to be talking about winners and losers. This should be pretty quick here. Let's start with Alabama at Texas A&M. 1, 2, 3, Alabama. Next, Michigan State at Wisconsin. I mean, let's talk about this a little. I think that we are all in agreement, but Vic, if you want to dive in a bit.
No, I mean.
Are you expecting anything crazy in this game?
I'm expecting Wisconsin to just build on what they did. They had a sloppy week 2 weeks ago against Northwestern. You know, the
that's
tough
the game
fight,
that scares me.
The tough fight from the Golden Flashes of Kent State, 48-0. But look, in Michigan State, it's just you have that tough game at home against Indiana that you barely crawled out of. You should have lost. Then you go to Columbus, you get held to 10 points, and now you got to go to Madison. It's way too much for this group. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was sort of the similar 35-10 sort of score. I think that the Spartans are just running out of gas.
We're assuming that the spread is over 7, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be 10.5, 13.5 in
all
that
right.
range.
I think they take care of business. I think Wisconsin
right.
covers.
Yeah.
I don't see anything from this Michigan State offense that would tell me otherwise. It seems like they're just cashing it in at this point. They're not going to be ranked going into Wisconsin.
No.
So into Madison. So and you guys were a little more nervous than I was last week after the Northwestern win for Wisconsin. I just think they're rolling. I think Jonathan Taylor was a little hurt 2 weeks ago. I think he got up a little gingerly, but he just ran for 5 touchdowns. He's back. He's healthy. He's going to run all over this Michigan State defense.
Yep.
I like Wisco to win this game for sure. I think of this as a similar game to Northwestern where Michigan State, Michigan State and Northwestern play defense. They're known for hard-nosed, well-coached defenses. And there's just something that scares me about the first quarter that I saw Michigan State against Ohio State where they really flustered them. And I'm not sure that Wisconsin has a good enough offense to make it out the same way that Ohio State did. I definitely think that they win, but if the spread is 10.5, I would probably grab the points. I don't see this as a massive blowout.
Michigan State's a bit more established than Northwestern. I'm not saying that they took it a little lighter, but look, you expect these sloppy games. You expect these sloppy games in the beginning of the season. They happen. They do happen. So I think they've learned from that. You know, you had Kent State. This is probably the most times I will ever say Kent State in a 1 hour span.
What is it? Golden Flashes.
But it's a Golden Flashes. But, you know, I think they see what's going on here. Now that you're in the top 10 mix, you've got a Heisman candidate, this is when you cannot look past anything. You got to manage week to week, and I think they're going to do that.
To your point, it was really sloppy, the Wisconsin-Northwestern game.
It was insanely sloppy.
But they were still up 14-3. I mean, they Northwestern...
I'm saying when you talk about covering, it's just a different story.
I know, but I think...
They're susceptible to the back door.
They are, but I don't think this is the Alex Hornibrook Badgers. I think this is the Jack Cohn, John Taylor Badgers. And I just think that Northwestern game maybe taught them a little more than they're just going to, you know, beat down on teams like they did Michigan the week prior.
My boy Clifford, Penn State at Iowa. I personally think that Penn State rolls here. I didn't see anything out of Iowa that would tell me otherwise.
I'm excited to hear this line.
Sorry, I have to cough.
Cough.
Ooh, how does that sound on the pod?
Loud and loud. Scary. Everything good on that end?
No, there's a lot of phlegm that just came up.
You're doing a little Babe Ruth three cigarettes in one night, three packs.
It's probably because I wore shorts in 40 degrees.
I told you, I probably have
the flu.
Yeah, you do.
Oh my God, you look sick. God, the flu.
But I'm excited for this line because Iowa State is a very good home team, and they've got a raucous crowd.
Hawkeyes.
But Penn State has been rolling, and we haven't seen many weak spots from them, but they also haven't played many good teams. So I think Penn State's going to take care of business, but I think the Hawkeyes are going to come out looking for blood after they were embarrassed in Michigan, putting up only 3 points.
Yeah, I just, for me, I haven't, you're right, we haven't seen Penn State. They blew the crap out of Maryland 2 weeks ago. Then this past week, they played
Purdue. They blew the crap out of them.
Look, they're beating the people they have to beat. These are the teams on their schedule. You can't change these games. You have a little leeway because now the Big Ten is two divisions, so you could sort of, I think you have to pick a couple of games. Look, Penn State is about to run into a train of competition. You're going to have Wisconsin. You're going to have Ohio State. You're going to have Michigan. I hope they're not looking ahead.
Big Ten is tough.
Right. Big Ten's very tough. And look, we could say all we want about how I only put up 3 points. End of the day, it was 10-3. It's not like they weren't doing their job on defense. So let's see how they can contain Dr. Clifford in Happy Valley. The Nittany Lions, I think we'll take care of this game, but I wouldn't be surprised.
It's in Iowa.
It is in Iowa.
Yeah,
it's in Iowa.
We're going to see one of the great traditions in college football where they wave to the children's hospital.
Of course.
That always gets me teary.
So, Hawkeyes. So, yeah, I mean, the Hawkeyes have that going for them. I don't know. Maybe they're upset about last week and they come in shock.
I hope they're upset.
You know what? Screw it. I think I was going to win this game somehow.
Fuck yeah, Vic. Wow. Woo!
There has been one line released, I'm hearing, and it's lucky that it's probably the game of the week. Florida at LSU. LSU is a 3.5-point favorite. Wow, what a game. All right. Anybody want to comment?
Yeah, I know where I'm going with this.
Me too.
Yeah. LSU -3.5.
I think so too.
I don't see what's his name? D. Jones. I think no Trask, no Felipe Franks for the Gators. LSU's going to have a whole week to prepare against the third string quarterback for Florida down in the Bayou. Joe Burrow's going to roll. I think this one could get ugly. Florida's got some speedsters, and that defense is pretty solid, but I just think this LSU offense is so explosive. Yesterday was the lowest point total they posted all season, and it was 42. This offense gets rolling, and they don't let up. So I think LSU pounds them here.
I'm actually so shocked that this line opened at 3.5.
Well, it's because they just saw what they did to Auburn.
No, I know.
You can't block that.
But they saw what they did to Auburn at home, and those points came before Trask got injured, or some of them at least. I think it was, 7-0 to start that game?
I think
it was 7-0, then they got a couple field goals, 7-6.
It's also a really ugly game, though.
Yeah.
It was an ugly
Bo Nix gave it right back to them a bunch of times.
And they gave it right back to Auburn.
I know, but I don't see an LSU team doing that.
There were five turnovers in the first half between both teams.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see it either. I will say that nobody knew the name Kyle Trask before Felipe Franks got injured, and now we'll know the new name of this Florida quarterback. Like, these kids are in college, and they step up sometimes. I think that this line will be bet way up. I think that next week, that I wouldn't be shocked if this was a 6.5-point spread. I think LSU's about to get hammered in Vegas, and then people will come back in on Florida. But I think at the current state of 3.5, I can't even believe that that's the line. That's just too small at home for a top-3 team in the nation.
All right, and Jack, this isn't just the Bayou. This is Death Valley. And you cannot just stroll into Baton Rouge coming off a win and thinking, okay, we can now compete. Okay, we're in the top 10. We're here. We've shown you what we can do against Auburn. LSU has been sitting pretty at home. They've been sitting quiet. Joe Burrow just whipping it. All sprint all over the field. Justin Jefferson's got 7 touchdowns receiving on the year already. More than impressive. Look, LSU always has that defense. And this year, though, it's been their offense. And they have managed to score over 40 points a game. They're probably averaging in the 50s, I believe. Yeah, they're averaging 54.6 points per game. That is your LSU offense right there. I just, you're right, Ben. I see the spread getting hammered. It's going to be LSU. I just think Florida, you know, it's such an emotional win, but here comes the crash when you're going into Death Valley.
Speaking of a crash, Texas at Oklahoma. I'm sure that this spread's going to be probably 10.5 would be my guess on the Oklahoma side. I know, Vic, you're definitely going to be on the Ellinger. Hook 'em horns, Matthew McConaughey, all those guys. I got to go Oklahoma. I think that their offense is so, so good. And I think that Texas's offense is not so, so good. I expect Oklahoma to win by 2 touchdowns.
Good vocab there, Ben. Got to give you credit for that
on,
one.
On the so-so good.
Good and so-so good. Yeah, Vic's going to go with any shade of brown he could grab onto, so that's Texas on this game.
Any shade of orange.
Orange
burnt
or brown.
Burnt,
yep. I think it's Oklahoma. This is a big statement for Lincoln Riley and an even bigger statement for Jalen Hurts and the defense. I think the defense of Oklahoma is going to prove themselves. I haven't seen enough from Texas. They struggled a little bit in West Virginia and Morgantown. I think Oklahoma is going to take care of business. I think they could win big in Texas. You know, it might be 10.5, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Hurts, you know, lays down the hammer.
Well, just don't forget, this is a neutral.
Oh,
it's,
no,
it's within
forget.
The state
so
of
yes,
Texas.
Yes.
You are right. It is within the state of Texas.
And they probably
it's
ride
the
horses.
Cotton Bowl in Big Dallas. All right.
Wow, we all forgot that.
Let me
helps us though because
there's something to be said. Rivalry okay, games, sure. Texas. I think for the last, 3 or 4 years, they've always covered the spread in this one. So I will take the points. You're right, Ben. If it's in the double digits, I'd say you definitely take Texas. Rivalry games.
Not what I said.
Didn't you say it would probably be around 10.5?
Yes, and I would still take Oklahoma.
All right, I'm saying.
Oh,
you should,
if it's in
yeah,
the 10.5,
then
you take Texas.
Take sure. The plus 10.
Well, I have a question. What if it's 7?
Still top 7. I still take the touchdown. Look, Sam Ellinger's been in this big
Ben,
game before.
Ben, it
he
is
was,
brown. It
he
is,
was
it is
here.
Brown.
It's,
they
so what if it's a
what
burnt,
it pick
for the
who
record,
do you take?
It's a burnt orange.
Who do you take? Pick 'em.
So I'm taking the alternate line at a Texas plus 2.5. Look, Sam Ellinger's played in this big game. He was here last year. They squeaked off the win. I think at that point they were like a 7.5 point underdog. Oklahoma was a great team last year. You still had Kyler Murray. The year before, you still had Baker Mayfield. I think the Baker Mayfield team, I think it was a very close game. They ended up pulling it out, I believe. I'm not sure on that. We could get me a stat check. Look, Oklahoma is averaging 150 yards more of total yards on offense, but they're only averaging 12 more points, and Texas did have that tough game with LSU in the beginning of the year. Oklahoma hasn't had a test yet. This is Oklahoma's first test, and it's at a neutral site, even though it is in Dallas, which is pretty damn close to Austin, much closer than Norman, Oklahoma. Look, the rivalry game, you got McConaughey in the stands, Texas shocks, upset.
Wow. Love that.
Vic, before you make that pick, I would suggest you keep reading down in your notes because this Texas defense lets up 100 yards more than this Oklahoma defense.
Oh, I'm okay
and
with that.
And they have not seen Jalen Hurts yet.
They have
so
not.
He's about to raise that average like 50
but
yards.
But they've seen LSU and Oklahoma State and West Virginia. Whereas
yeah, they
Oklahoma's
got, they got
seen
creamed.
Yeah, Oklahoma's seen UCLA, Texas Tech.
They're 4-1.
Kansas. I mean, come you on, know, dude. I just... Yeah. Look, I'm not taking anything away, you know, but the non-conference schedule was pretty weak. Their toughest non-conference one was UCLA. Texas has played LSU. That was a neutral site game, I believe.
And they got shellacked.
No, it was 45-38. That was a back-and-forth game the whole way. Look, I just rivalry games, they're going to step up, but I think we got one more left to talk about, right?
Nope, we don't.
That's yep. It. That's
Virginia
our slate.
Virginia and Miami.
Hey!
No,
we're not if you're looking for Friday Night Lights, people, you got nothing to do. Throw on ESPN. Oh,
please.
And Oregon at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I want to close with one team that you see moving up or down after this last week. And again, I'm just going to quickly snag this
Wait,
one.
Could I just clarify? You yes. mean after week 6 or this time next week, a team that's right?
Ooh, good. Yeah, clarification on the question.
The legal mind.
Ah.
Maybe over the next week. Including next week,
who do I see moving up or down?
Borrow this.
Okay, I'm going to borrow this. I first need to see who is Oregon playing next week.
It's Colorado.
Okay, I see Oregon moving down. I've been all over Oregon. I've been all over Justin Herbert. What I saw against Cal this past weekend, they won 17-7. They should have blown the fucking doors.
Well, Cal
off
was
of
just
Cal.
In the top 25.
I told
them,
and
they had an injury to their quarterback, I believe.
And the defense has been their stalwart.
Yes, I get it. You guys will have your chance.
Yep.
This is mine. I did not see anything.
This is your time.
This is my time. If you can be Arizona State and put up 24 on the road against Cal, if you can be Ole Miss and put up 20 at home, if you can be North Texas and put up 17, Herbert. This offense is sick. Apparently not. I think that they would have a lot of trouble going up against any top 10 offense in the nation if they can't do anything against a pretty defeated Cal team with a backup terrible quarterback. I expect next week. Oh, they're playing Oregon State. Why'd you guys say that they were playing Colorado?
No, this Friday night they're playing Colorado.
Oh, that's Cal. God, Cal. What a game. But yeah, I think Colorado, Vic, we watched that Colorado ASU game. Colorado can sling it.
Yeah, but they're going into the high altitude in Eugene, Oregon. I can't see Oregon really dealing with much trouble there.
But so I see them moving down. Okay. I don't think that they cover necessarily next week. They probably win, but I see Oregon moving back down in the other direction. Mm-hmm. Vic?
I guess it alluded to it by saying Texas is going to upset Oklahoma, which would mean that Oklahoma would have to fall somewhere outside of the top 10, although they're both top 10 right now. So it's going to be an awesome game either way. The other pick, it's just going to be Florida. I LSU will be just way too much for them to handle. Another team that needs to look out, they just lost to Stanford. The Pac-12.
Yep, Washington.
And we've been talking about the Pac-12. We don't really know. All of a sudden, they've got these defensive
battles.
That's
my pick,
you just brought
up
the 17-7.
I got a pick in the Pac-12.
So I'll let you talk on that. But there's teams you got to watch out. You got to stop looking ahead at some of these bigger games and value every single conference opponent you have to play.
Oh, yeah.
But Florida will be moving back. I just think they're going to be outside of the top 10. LSU will be too much. And if it's going to be as ugly as we say, they could be looking towards the back end of the top 15.
Yeah, I'm going to stay in the Pac-12 here. Arizona State, Herman the boys, they get Washington State, which if it wasn't for that crazy UCLA loss, they would still be in the top 25, top 20. So they've got them at home this week. And then they've got a tough game against Utah in 2 weeks in Utah. So I think they've got a couple chances to really build that resume. And Herm could rally the defense, the offense. A couple weeks ago, we were all over the Sun Devils.
I got to give one shout out.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're
no,
I
got to
give
really
one
check because
we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. We mentioned Boise State and our favorite
Smurf Turf.
Is it the Big West Conference? What, the WAC?
The WAC.
Western
it's
Athletic
WAC.
Conference. Your game of the week. Hawaii Rainbow Warriors at 4-1 going into Boise State 5-0. This is your 10-15 Saturday night. If you're not going out and you're not watching a chick flick, toss on ESPN2. We've got your WAC game. We said you were going to get one of these. This is one of your true gifts. You got nothing to do with Saturday night. If you're up money, you're down money, this is your final action.
2 pound the over.
Over. Hey, you're going to see a ton of points.
It takes a really special fan to stay up and watch this game. You know, you have to.
Like I said, you've got to have nothing on the
horizon.
Your
roommate had to slip you a couple Adderall or something else because you got to be wired, and you have to have no desire to go out or see anybody.
No desire to go out. You got nothing on the horizon.
Or you have to be in a massive hole.
Or you had a rough afternoon.
No meaningful reason to even get out of bed for this one. This is an in-bed. You've got the Cheetos. The crumbs are all over
you.
You
made a bag of Orville Redenbacher.
And there's a slice from Tuesday night that's sitting under your bed.
I'm excited to see those fans. Those are, my God, what a.
We got to find a Boise State bar.
I love that it's in Smurfland,
yeah,
on that Smurf.
Oh, yeah. And if you're watching, please share some pics. We'd love to see what you're munching on.
If we've got any whack listeners,
while you're watching.
Nevada, Air Force, UNLV, tell us who you are.
Amazing that Air Force is in that conference.
They are?
Why? It's the misfits.
It doesn't.
Yeah, but why isn't Air Force in a conference with Army and Navy?
But
why aren't they in their own conference?
But
Army and Navy
are
the
I don't know where Air Force is.
Air Force
no clue,
plays
right?
their games.
Right?
They play their games in. Hold on. It is in.
It's far.
Falcons Stadium. I don't know. That's not giving you a look. It's in USAF Academy in Colorado.
So, like, how are they in this?
That's in the West, I guess. It's close to
Yeah, but obviously, it should be Navy, Army.
Miami.
Anyway to slip in Miami. Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
Vic at V Web.
I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. We're tacking on a couple more here. Please remember to share it with friends and family. Maybe recommend it to a friend or a coworker. Anything helps. Really appreciate it. Please follow The Schwitz on Instagram. Join our private Facebook group, The Schwitzers, on Facebook. Some big updates coming there. We're throwing some tailgates. We're throwing some parties. We're going crazy. There's so much stuff going on. Victor's getting naked on live stream. Just join that group. You won't be sorry. Thanks so much, and have a great week.